When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Of radio.
There's just no need to go that deep into a fucking trailer. I try to watch these trailer park breakdowns that people do just to see if there's like anything big that I missed after I watched it. And then I hear a guy who's just like, and this pagoda looking marble structure here is similar to the one that we saw in Doctor Strange. So he's clearly going back to the Sanctorum where they were all training. I was like, who cares? What bearing does that have on a Spider-Man movie?
I perfectly agree. It sounds like an Ivy League fucking academic trying to like showboat his intelligence or something like that for no reason at a bar.
Like, you know? If you want to talk about a fucking pumpkin bomb and how that looks just like the same pumpkin bomb from 2002 Spider-Man, that makes sense. That has bearing on this movie. But it doesn't you know what? It doesn't matter where Wong's going. He's exiting the story and we just need him gone so he can go fight the Abomination because that's what we all want.
Yep. Yeah. It's insane, dude. It's unbelievable.
Welcome to Super Movie Brothers. Let's start the show.
Welcome to Super Movie Bros. I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Dave.
I'm your host, Super Movie Brother Jay.
It's a short episode this week, I'm going to be honest, because I know Jay was on vacations. He didn't see a whole lot, and I was just busy adopting dogs, taking care of babies, and just living my fucking life. I was too busy to watch most shit.
Yeah,
and,
baby.
And there was
all good stuff.
Honestly, there was no big movies that came out in the theaters or anything like that. So we kind of like put this episode together. Like, there was a time where I was like, I don't know what this episode is going to be about. And then I was sitting online playing video games with my friends, and over my Discord chat, someone just says, "It's here." And then a link, Spider-Man No Way Home trailer. And I was like, yeah, fucking A.
Uh-huh.
We got a show.
We got a show now. Or we have to do a show now.
We got a show. Right. I was thinking about maybe just passing on this week, you know? Deep in bag.
This is like a more of like a soft serve ice cream episode, you know, like nice and easy, single serving, you know, just to wet your
exactly
your bill
just to
a
wet
little
your
bit,
beak,
yeah,
little.
Your little beak.
But no, I was like, oh, I'm gonna jump back into the archives and maybe just play something from the past and stuff like that. But then this happened, and I was like,
oh yeah,
all right. But then it got me thinking about franchises and stuff like that. This is the third in the franchise, and we know that there have been some real bad thirds in franchises in history. Godfather Part 3, Spider-Man 3. As you can see here, rattle them all off. Pirates of the Caribbean
Pirates,
3.
Back to the Future.
Wow.
3.
Wow.
I'm not a big fan of 3.
You trying to get shot, Clint Eastwood? The Buford Mad Dog Tannen?
I'm just
Back
saying.
Back to the Future 3 is just fine. It's not as good as 2 and 1.
What are we just talking about? It's
just fine. So anyway, we were thinking about all these missteps in franchises and stuff like that, and I decided, Jay, what are the worst franchises in movie history? So we're going to be doing our top 5 worst movie franchises. Now, when we get into that list, I just want to preface this by saying, like, not all the movies in the franchise are bad.
100%. I was about to say that myself because Dave has seen way more than me, so my list is extremely limited.
I am the franchise guy.
Yeah. So this is just bear that in mind.
So what I want to say is that when we do that list, some of them, and we'll probably explain it when we talk about them, may be on our list because later entries into that franchise really let us down. So it's
correct.
So it's almost like movie franchises that were a letdown more so than worst movie franchises. But worst, that's more poppy. That's gonna get more clicks. That's more clickbaity. But Jay, we still gotta get into the very few things that we watch. So let's get started with what are you watching?
What are you watching?
What are we watching?
He's trying to watch some illegal channel.
Oh, he's watching.
No, go past this part. In fact,
play this again.
All right, Jay, what'd you get down to watching this week? It's funny because you said you watched two things that you watched but didn't watch.
Well, two new streaming films on HBO and also on Prime.
One of them we did a trailer park for back in the day, and you were very excited about.
Correct.
It.
Correct. Yes.
Adam
so,
Driver.
Adam Driver.
Which was supposed to get a theatrical release but didn't.
Right.
So.
Marion Cotillard is a musical opera on film. Very highly experimentally indie. French cinema-esque. This is a challenge, to say the least, of a watch. And even for my kind of taste, I am not an opera fan. I'm barely a musical fan. I hate musicals. And this one is really nonsensical, and I am chipping away at it. But this is I've had two or three approaches on it, and I'm only an hour and a half in. So I think I got a good hour left of the movie. And what I can gather is the craftsmanship of this film is phenomenal. And I understand that you can see the display is beautiful. And you see the acting, they're going for broke.
I mean, Annette is getting really good reviews.
Very, that's not necessarily true. It's a lot of respectful reviews. Even people who don't like it, they can respect it, and I think right. I understand why it's kind of coming from the shades of like my impressions of it, but for some reason, I guess
do you ever feel,
it's
I just want to know,
not hitting me right.
Do you ever feel like I do when you see like a review for a movie that's like, this movie's fantastic, and then like you're like, I want to watch that. Like, this guy just sold this thing. Like he's selling ice to a fucking Eskimo. I'm in! And then I go to watch that fucking movie, and I'm just like, this is boring. It's pretty. But it's boring.
Yeah, and it's weird because, like, you know, this has so much crazy shit going on.
But it makes
it
me wonder.
It shouldn't be boring, but
it makes me wonder if like critics and people who review movies more professionally than we do watch something and see it and they go, I understand that this is technically good, so I better say it's technically good, so I don't get razzed by the rest of my culture.
I hear you.
By the rest of the people, my peers in this.
I will say this. If you read the reviews, you could probably gather that maybe that's part of it. It's like what I'm saying, but as far as like, I didn't quite like it, but I respect it and I understand the quality behind
it.
Right.
Okay.
You know?
Maybe.
That's, I think, a big part
of it. But I understand if a critic says that, where they're like, this movie's gorgeous.
But you're not going to see that in the headline.
You're not
going to
see that.
That's the thing.
Right, right.
What
they're going to put in the tagline is just like, a wonderful masterpiece of stunning visuals. Adam Driver, is the Robert De Niro of today. And then you go read it, and they're like, this was the most boring, tripe piece of shit that I ever saw, but fuck, it was pretty.
Yeah, I mean, there's barely any. This is practically all musical, all sung. Almost.
It's like dating the hot girl in high school. You're like, man, I never wanted to get inside anything more than I want to get inside her. And then you go on a date with her, and then she was just like boring as shit. And you're just like, stunning masterpiece of visual stimulation, but you're boring as shit.
Yeah. Check, please.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
that's essentially I'm telling you right now, I'm going to watch the full movie. I'm just chipping away at it because luckily there's not too much out there right now, so I'm able to do that.
Labor of love. I don't think I have that patience to do.
I'm trying so hard because I'm just the curiosity for the most part.
There's just too many other things out there that
I
want to check out.
It's essentially an opera, so it's going to be crazy. It's going to be very fantastical, and you know, it's put on display. But one of the biggest mysteries that's never explained is they have... It's not really a spoiler, but they have a baby.
Okay.
And it comes out like a hybrid of a baby and a deer.
Okay.
And it's never explained.
We've seen that before.
We
just watched Sweet Tooth, baby.
It's named Annette. So, you know, title character. And that's pretty much where I'm at, essentially. So they're kind of like first couple months with the baby, essentially. And,
am I supposed to like watch this and like...
No, I don't think you're going to like
this
at all.
But like, am I supposed to watch this and like psychobabbly like analyze like what...
I don't know.
What a baby...
No, I think it is. I think it's one of those weird things that like...
Well, the deer simulates prey and the vulnerability of a child and the protective nature that a father feels after a baby is born. I mean, it's clear as day on screen.
Yeah. No, seriously. Like, this was a big head scratcher.
How was my Gene Shalit? Was that all right? Did I need to get a little louder?
It wasn't that bad. Not bad. It wasn't that bad.
Is Gene Shalit dead?
Probably.
You shouldn't make fun of the dead.
No. I know.
Leave the dead lie. So you're not even recommending Annette.
It's no.
More, it's more like one of those cautionary things.
Very
it's
cautionary just like, tales.
Check it out if you want, but...
good luck. You'll know right away pretty quickly on if you're going to be able to handle it or not. I mean, it's...
I love
it's
Adam.
Bold.
I love Adam Driver's
bold.
Nose, though. Like, I don't know how a woman could look at Adam Driver's face.
He's
and,
a bold motherfucker.
I don't know how a woman could look at Adam Driver's face and just be like, I want to ride that.
But that nose might hit the clit just the right way.
Just the right way.
Just the right way. The way it curves.
You know, like, sometimes we weren't born endowed in the way that we want, but we were given the tools that we needed. Like Gene Simmons has always said, small dick. That's why I got the tongue.
As he said that, that's funny.
He has said that, yeah. He's not well endowed down there, but that's why he's
good
got the
him.
Tongue. And for a while, I know like he had like I don't know if it was a world record, but like he had like his tongue is massive. Like it's why he talks.
Oh,
kind
yeah,
of
well, you see it.
It's why he talks kind of the way he does because it's almost like his tongue barely fits inside of his mouth. And maybe Adam Driver, you know, I don't know what he's looking like downstairs, but
he's a tall boy.
That nose
looks pretty good.
That nose might
big
be
nose.
Might be the gift. That we didn't.
And there's
know
some
he
close
had.
Shots of his hands. He's got some big hands
got
too.
Some big
so
hands
he,
too.
He might be he might be packing a lot better than me in gold shorts. I don't know. I don't know.
Callbacks to a Patreon episode. All right, Jake.
No, the lead-in of the main episode last week. You fucking bastard. Thank you.
I hope your mother, I still hope your mother hears this
yeah,
someday.
My aunt, cousins, you know, fucking whoever. Oh, whatever. Anyway. And then also on HBO,
I'm just picturing your cousin being like, just listening to that and just being like, yeah, he's right. It's not impressive. He nailed him. He nailed him. He got that.
Reminiscence, the sci-fi movie that just came out starring Hugh Jackman, also starring Tandy Newton, Rebecca
I heard
Ferguson.
This is just fucking
wow.
Boring.
Wow. Lisa bad. Joy is the writer director. She is behind Westworld. It's our first feature directorial debut, and you could tell it's an amateur first timer with a big budget.
Yeah, I mean, I just heard
great
it was,
idea.
I heard
great
was,
idea.
I heard it was boring, just boring.
It's very boring. Ugh. It's very boring, and you just don't. It's a great idea. If you had a better filmmaker behind it, it would have been really interesting, I think. But it was kind of a cool idea seeing a washed up. Miami, you know, essentially looking like Venice, Italy. You know, you have the boat everywhere. Everything is washed out. The ocean's poured into the city, you know, because of global warming. And, you know, it's hard to get into spoilers, but like, so essentially he's able to, as a private investigator, go into someone's mind and navigate and then figure out what happened in the past within their life. Or for a fee, they can relive past happy memories. Some people dealing with trauma or depression or something like that, they can do that and live a period of time reliving some happy memories, you know, things like that. So he kind of stumbles into the situation when he falls with this girl. She goes missing, and then the mystery ensues as far as what happened to her, where she go,
well,
what is her tale.
Well, we got a mystery to solve, so grab yourself a Scooby snack.
Yep-er.
Don't hold back. Scooby-dooby-doo, where are you?
It's such a misfire, man. It just is, you know, and it's okay. Like, you might be able to just get by watching this, but like, there's just no point, it seems like, as of right now. Again, I haven't been able to finish the movie. This is like a second or third attempt on chipping away. I have 30 minutes left, and I still couldn't finish it yet. It's a struggle. It's just so disappointing, you know, but eh. What are you going
to
do?
All right. Well, you ready to talk about what I was watching this
Please.
Week?
Please.
So I checked out the new Starz original series, Heels, starring Stephen Amell and Alexander Ludwig, who you may remember as playing Bjorn Ironside from Vikings. So they both play brothers down south in Georgia. And the older brother, played by Stephen Amell, Jack, runs their father's old wrestling promotion, local wrestling promotion, small time indie circuit type stuff. And, you know, the younger brother, Jack, the younger brother, Ace, seems to be the one that has more of the natural talents, whereas Jack has more of the storytelling, you know, showmanship type talents.
Yeah.
And they are obviously butting heads because Ace might get his big break and get taken to a bigger league, which may lead him to the quote-unquote big leagues. So I was automatically, as a wrestling fan, I was in. I was in on it. And, you know, I've been following the at least the some of the production of the show, because at some point CM Punk was kind of like wrestling with these actors and stuff.
Yeah.
Just I guess just for fun. I checked. He's not like a producer on the show or anything. The show's actually produced by Mike O'Malley, who you may remember as the host of Nickelodeon Guts. but no,
so he's like an advisor.
Like CM Punk just kind of like, I think because he's kind of like a star, you know, or like movie star, wrestling star. He's a public persona, and Steve Amell is you know, a television star and stuff like
yeah.
that.
Yeah, I've heard about this. Yeah.
Yeah, you call people, and then you get yourself on set and you have a little fun. And so ever since I saw like pictures of CM Punk there, I've been like following this stuff.
You're scheduling play dates, David.
You play a game with me, right?
I don't want to play a game.
Please?
No.
I said play a fucking game with me, Ray.
That's kind of what you're doing. So I honestly, like, being a wrestling fan, I dug it. But it's not really, like, sure, there's the inside baseball bullshit that goes on with, like, wrestling. But really, it's about these guys and their lives. Like Jack is a family man. He's got a wife. He's got a kid. He's got a 9-to-5 job. He's trying to hold all that together while he's trying to build this wrestling promotion and hold that together. Not much unlike a guy who has a wife and two kids and two dogs, and he's just trying to get his little indie podcast off the fucking ground.
Yeah,
there's some parallels that I see there. Yeah. Is what I'm saying. Like when
which
his
you
wife,
could appreciate
right when his wife is bitching at him about, and I don't want to say bitching, she's rightfully complaining that he spends too much time on this thing and not enough with his family. Like, it's like, I get that. I've gotten that speech, and I've rightfully gotten that speech at times because I spend too much time on this little podcast that makes us zero money. Sorry, patrons, you just don't pay us enough. More patrons though. Patreon.com/SuperMovieBrosPodcast. Get all that pre-roll stuff.
It's fun.
It's fun. It's good stuff.
And it's worth the dollar. At least a dollar, please.
Hear more about Jay Schlong. Or less. You know, but
there's a lot of good stories besides my penis.
Mainly more.
But mainly more. And where it's traveled.
But no, I think if you're a fan of like drama, then you could check it out, because this is like a very bleak story. Like, you know, there's not a whole lot of sunshine and rainbows going on in rural Georgia, if you know what I'm saying. Like, people don't have a lot of money. Everyone's hard up. Everyone's having a hard time, and everyone's got a sob story, and everybody listens to the saddest country songs you've ever heard, because every country song except for new country pop is sad. Like, yeah. Someone's dog got run over, their tractor broke down,
they ran out of beer,
their girl left them, they ran out of beer, whatever. That's the type of country music they're listening to in this show. So like it's very depressing at times. Like I'm only two episodes in. I think two episodes are out at this point. Maybe by the time you hear this podcast, the third episode might be out. It depends how fast I can get this one edited and put together. But so I was just like, you know, I can recommend it to people. But I can truly say that anyone who's a wrestling fan can watch this and appreciate it. So, also, I watched AEW Rampage, one more dance or one final dance or whatever the fuck the episode's name was. Who cares what it was? Because CM Punk returned to professional wrestling, Jay. And I didn't think I was going to get that excited.
Like, ooh.
In my head, I was like, only a matter of time, right? It was only a matter of time before he came back. He's been gone for 7 years. He left the WWE, blew Vince McMahon a kiss, walked away, went and had a UFC career, wrote some comic books. You know, I think he wrote like a tell-all book at some point, probably, or at least his wife did, AJ Lee. And then he acted in some movies. And like, I was like, you know, he's doing his thing. He's living his life. He invested well with the money he made while in the WWE, so that he didn't have to.
That's my dream.
Right. So that he didn't have to work if he didn't want to.
Give me a chance. Yeah.
So all the rumors were swirling for weeks and weeks and weeks that CM Punk's going to be coming back. And I didn't think that I was going to care until I heard this. So CM Punk's entrance music plays.
It's the best entrance music.
I know.
Right?
It really is. Looked into my eyes. What do you see? And I was just like, oh, my God, CM Punk's back. And the cool thing was, like, it was so deafeningly loud inside the thing. Now, I'm obviously not in the arena to see it. I know,
you could feel it.
I know someone we know through podcasting world, the amazing Nerd Show. I know that they were there for it because they live in the Chicago area, were able to go to it. They could probably tell you how deafening it was, but just seeing it on TV, you could barely hear his entrance music. The crowd was roaring so loudly. CM Punk, Chicago native as well. So, you know, it makes sense that they would all go absolutely nuts. But he then delivers a wonderful speech, says he's got so much more to say, and we're just going to have to tune in for the next couple weeks of AEW for him to start getting it all out. I like it, man. I'm definitely going to continue watching AEW. And if you're a wrestling fan, like Vince McMahon's been saying, like AEW is not competition for him, and maybe by the ratings and by merch sales and by sheer, you know, money and fandom and stuff like that, he might be right. But if there was going to be another war of wrestling federations like we had back in the day between WCW and WWF, I think the first shot in the war was just fired with CM Punk coming back.
Okay.
He's like the biggest fan favorite get that anybody could have. And I'm sure Vince McMahon has thrown oodles of money at Phil Brooks' feet for him to come back as CM Punk in the WWE. And instead, he's going to AEW. Look, I'm sure a checkbook got him there, too.
Oh, without a doubt. A lot of incentive.
But to be fair, he could have taken money at any time and just made money, but he invested well. He didn't need money. He's back now for wrestling and for passion.
Maybe he just realizes this is his last shot, his last hurrah.
Maybe he's in his 40s now.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't want to do it forever.
You can't physically do it forever.
Well,
not of high quality.
Some people try.
Maybe he has standards.
Some people try. But so that's going to do it for What Are You Watching? But Jay, we did get a voicemail for Fact.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's get into this week's movie Fact.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
It's the search for fact, not truth.
All right, Jay, this one comes from Dylan. We actually know this guy. He's Dylan from the Beard Brothers podcast. I'm good friends with him. But
oh, man.
I don't know if I'm good friends with him. I've never asked him whether we're good friends or not. You know, I play video games with the dude, and
but
we
do you
we
ask
talk a
that
lot
to people?
Yeah, at what point in a relationship do you go, hey, man, are we good friends? Are we
When you're like 15 beers deep and you're hugging
and you,
each other.
Yeah, when did me and you decide we were best friends?
It happened a very long time ago.
Right around the time
we were probably snuggled up on the couch somewhere.
I was Big Spoon.
Beers deep.
I was Big Spoon. You were a Little Spoon.
Six trailers watched. talking about life.
Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
All right, Jay.
Pretty much.
So Dylan's got some facts for us about a movie that me and you did a movie cocktail for way back in season one. It is The Thing.
Hello there.
Hello there.
This is Beard Brother Dylan from Beard Brothers Podcast. Cody and AJ say hello, but Dave, Jay, I wanted to call in and leave you a couple movie facts from my great state of a million depressions, Ohio. You guys have talked about me on the show before, so I don't know if you want to introduce me or not, but I just did it.
We already introduced
you. So I had a couple movie facts from my favorite movie of all time, and that would be John Carpenter's The Thing, not that booty prequel one that was released in the 2000s. The 1980s one, that is phenomenal and amazing.
1982, get your ears
right.
One
of the best horror movies, if not best movie ever made. So,
I'm due for a rewatch.
I have a couple here, so bear with me. I'm going to read them from my telephone. I have the original one. I noticed, and talked to Dave about it before, he is familiar with it, but a double amputee was used to create one of the film's quintessential special effects, known as the chest chomp. John Carpenter had actually found a double amputee for Dr. Cooper, played by Richard Dyson, when he attempts to revive Norris, I believe, with a defibrillator. That's a tough word for me to say. Presses the pedals against the patient's skin, counts his arms off. He actually used an actual double amputee from the elbows down to help create that thing. So I thought that was a fun little tidbit. Another one that I noticed when scrolling through a list of some fun trivia facts about this movie. Kurt Russell almost killed himself with a stick of dynamite. Towards the end of the movie, he gets a little TNT happy, and is throwing dynamite. Apparently, for one of the scenes, he used a very real stick and did not get far enough away from it after he had thrown it, and it actually sent him flying backwards and had to be taken to the hospital and checked for a concussion. So that was a fun one as well. And then another one, towards the opening of the movie, Kurt Russell is playing McCready, of course, is playing a game of chess against a one of the super smart chess computers. And a friend of mine just let me know this recently. The female voice that is used for said chess machine is actually John Carpenter's wife. So you guys go ahead and discuss that, and I want to say thank you, and appreciate the hard work you guys put into the show. It's awesome. You guys helped us create our own podcast, and go from there. So, yeah, appreciate it. You guys have a good one. I'll talk to you later. Cheers.
Thanks, Dylan, for leaving us the voice message. So, yeah, I did know about the double the amputee thing. I think we might have mentioned it back when we did our movie Cocktail for the thing. But I did not know about the quarter stick of dynamite. Or not even a quarter stick, full stick of dynamite.
Right.
I want to be there on the set so I can watch Kurt Russell just do like a badass walking away from the explosion as his beautiful, luscious, like brunette blonde locks are blowing in the breeze and so his thick. Beard is rustling with the explosion going off behind him.
Hey! Woohoo! Hey! Ladies! That was fun!
Kurt Russell, back in the day, man. What a fucking... just
legend.
How would women not just like just throwing panties at him every time he walked in a room? You know, you know that like another movie fact.
How
at least
has
fact.
He not been single longer in his life? He's been married for so long. I know,
since
Goldie Hawn,
since like the late 80s. Yeah, but one thing you might not know is, did you know that like the last words of Walt Disney are reported to be Kurt Russell?
Mm.
Yeah, Kurt Russell's name is apparently like the last thing uttered by Walt Disney before dying.
Weird.
Right.
Really weird.
Like, what's he like? Kurt Russell. And it's like, and now I'm wondering, like,
the hair.
Has
the hair.
I've always wanted that sweet boy's ass.
He looked like a power bottom. Just my type. I like a little rough.
Ever since I put him in the boy who the computer wore tennis shoes, I've been trying to get in Kurt Russell's ass. And it's like, so what do we say his last words were? Not that. just say they were Kurt Russell. Yeah. And it's like, that raises just enough questions. Just alone. Sorry to the people of Walt Disney. This is why we're never going to get sponsored or ever be able to get free movie tickets and stuff. They're like, we heard that shit you said about Walt. That man's a legend.
We probably had our chance and we screwed it.
But anyway, so I did not know about the stick of dynamite. And I did hear about it being John Carpenter's wife as the computer. It's the thing, one of my favorite movies of all time, top 10 movies list for sure. It's on that list for me. And yeah, I mean, you know, I do kind of just want to go back because I think our movie Cocktail for the thing might be lost to the annals of time with how
I would love to do a redo.
Yeah,
if you want.
Yeah, because I think I could make that cocktail better. I think I can do a better job.
And but why I can't not redo an episode about the thing? I mean, fuck.
Yeah, why not?
It's legendary.
And then just get Mark in here and just be like, you know, dance monkey. We need you for this because Jay can't keep up for all the behind the scenes facts and stuff.
Yeah,
we do for movie
and Mark's this, you know, an academic scholar and filmmaker and book writer and, you know.
For sure. For sure.
Too much.
All right. So if you would like to leave us a movie fact in voicemail, just like Dylan did, then you can reach out to us on our Super Movie Bros hotline. That is 267-590-9042. That is 267-590-9042. If you're international, you don't want to call a U.S. number, you can probably just record your voice on like your mobile computer that you hold there, called a cell phone, and then you can probably email it to us, supermoviebrospodcast@gmail.com. All right, Jay, now it's time for you and I to get to kind of like the big part of the show, the stuff that made us actually sit down in front of a microphone this week.
Cut the beat and let the music play. No trailer park. Shout out to Dave and Jay. I don't surf, but there's a newer wave. We've been on since Twitch. God save the right stop. I don't want to flow until I know that the bass drop.
It's Trailer Park
Fuck, I love that intro song. Thanks, yeah. Thomas.
Yeah, well, it's nice. It's nice hearing a professional musician drop your names in a song. Yeah. I've never. I'll probably never come down from that high. Thomas Iannucci has a new album out right now, so you can head over to Spotify and check out his brand new album. It's Thomas Iannucci, I-A-N-N-U-C-C-I. But Jay, we're here to discuss the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, because this is a trailer that has eluded everybody. Everybody's like, this movie's coming out like November 23rd.
Yeah.
Here we are.
Rumors that they were not even going to do a trailer.
Right. 2 months in, and then on Sunday, something happened. The trailer was leaked online by an unknown source. Sony was quick to take it down, but plenty of people saw the trailer, were copying it, putting it out there. So what's Sony left to do?
Now what the fuck are we supposed to do? We're some real pretty shit now, man.
You finished.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over. What are we gonna do now?
Just put the fucking trailer out.
Yeah.
And they did. They put it out the very next day, on Monday.
Somebody got assassinated.
Yeah, somebody. But I was wondering if, like, maybe someone from the production, like, much like with Deadpool, where they're like, hey, guess what? They saw this test footage and they don't want to make a Deadpool movie. So here is the test footage from Deadpool. Is everyone interested? And everyone, yeah, fucking A, we're interested. I wonder if someone in the production was like,
you know,
they don't want to put out a trailer for this, or at least they're not promoting it quick enough. We're worried we're not going to make our money. I have back-end deals that I got going on. Trailer leaked.
You also have CinemaCon going on right now as we record. So this whole week, you got each studio, each day, kind of promoting all their new shit this year, next year.
A lot of good buzz about Stallone's movie Samaritan, by the way.
Interesting.
Apparently, like, huge buzz.
There's a lot of good buzz from a lot of big titles, which is kind of exciting to hear. I'm so happy about that. But again,
you gotta go to this and you gotta see Samaritan, because that's where I play a good Samaritan.
It's like, all right, sit down, Sly. Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Come on, Sly. Relax.
Steroids have rotted your brain and your balls, sir.
Hand on.
So we ended up getting the trailer. I couldn't be more happier about it because we had nothing to talk about this week. But also, like,
And guess what? It broke the record for Endgame. Most watched from YouTube.
Oh, really?
24-hour span.
Cool. I was kind of interested. Like, I'm almost a little disappointed that it came out. In a way, I'm very excited that it came out because we get to break it down. We get to talk about it. I get to geek out over it for the next 2 months until the movie comes out.
I think in theory, though, it is kind of perfect timing though.
This is good that the hype train has been going, but they didn't start putting out trailers months in advance like most movies do. Like, we've already had a Jurassic World trailer. That movie's not due out until June of 2022. Like, get the fuck out of here. What do we need all that shit for? But I was kind of curious just to see what a movie without a trailer would have done in the theaters, right? If your trailer was just like the logo and it says in theaters November 23rd and it's Spider-Man and it's part of the MCU, like, I still think it would have done well.
And I like the idea, and especially after seeing the trailer and what the fuck the movie's going to be about, I would have liked to have seen nothing.
Yeah, I wonder if
it would have been bonkers.
I wonder if Sony's just like, well, I don't know, man, maybe we're scaring people away this time.
Now, let me ask you this. Would you see another trailer?
I don't think I want to.
I don't want to. But we can't help ourselves.
Yeah, no.
As much as I say I won't watch it, I will watch it. I just know I will.
I mean, to be fair, like, I do. To be fair,
I would like to be a little bit more surprised. And there's going to be a lot of surprises.
There's been tons of Shang-Chi trailers, which I've ignored because I kind of want to go into that movie very blind.
Which, great buzz for that too. I'm very happy about.
Yeah. So, but Jay, without any further delay, let's get into the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer.
That's right, folks. Spider-Man is, in fact, Peter Parker.
So, Peter, to what do I owe the pleasure?
I'm sorry to bother you, sir.
Please, we saved half the universe together. I think we're beyond you calling me, sir.
Okay, Steven.
That feels weird, but I'll allow it.
When Mysterio revealed my identity, my entire life got screwed up. I was wondering if maybe you could make it so that he never did.
Strange.
Don't cast that spell. It's too dangerous. Fine. I won't.
The entire world is about to forget that Peter Parker is Spider-Man.
Wait, everyone? Can't some people still know?
That's not how the spell works.
So So MJ's gonna forget about everything we've ever been through?
Stop tampering with the spell.
Oh my God, Ned, he's my best friend.
Oh, my Aunt May should really
know. Stop talking.
What just happened?
The problem is you trying to live two different lives. Be careful what you wish for, Parker. Hello, Peter.
Everything that everybody wanted is pretty much confirmed with this trailer, which is what I dig about it, like, just so much. It was kind of fun speculating for a while, and I like, you know, like we said before, I'm of two minds here. I kind of like the idea of us not knowing what was going to happen, but also having these rumors confirmed, it's like,
mentally preps you for going into the film too a little bit.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. And then so obviously, you know, we're dealing with a multiverse now, and Kevin Feige, whatever you want to say, Feige, I never know what to say. I've been doing.
I'll always say Foggy. I don't care. Foggy just sounds better.
I've been doing this for like you said, like 6 years, and I still call him Feig or Foggy, whatever. But anyway, he did mention like Spider-Man's one of the unique characters that'll be able to go through multiverses and stuff like that, and it's like cool. And that was like basically him being like, because we're losing Spider-Man after this movie. He gets like another cameo, I believe, in an MCU movie after this. But they don't get to tell, MCU will no longer be involved with any solo Spider-Man movies after this one. Mm-hmm. This is the last hurrah. And so they kind of have
They're going for broke.
They kind of have to make a multiverse. Sony, they have to do a multiverse because they can't use MCU characters in the future. So they're going to essentially just start making movies, and they can explain that, like, well, that's another universe. This is Tom Holland in this universe, but he knows about the old universe, but he doesn't mention it because no one else in this new universe knows about that old universe. Are we all savvy? Are we all getting this? And it's like, by the way, now, like, that there's multi-universes, and Venom wasn't previously in the same universe, now we can bring Venom into the same universe. Morbius may not have been in the same universe, but he's going to be in the same universe, because Morbius trailer that dropped, and we did a breakdown for it, and we were like, oh, that's Tobey Maguire Spider-Man right there. That's Sam Raimi Spider-Man in that poster that says murderer across it. That's not Tom Holland Spider-Man. This must take place in a different universe. But then at the end of that trailer, we see Michael Keaton's Vulture, and I'm just like, well, maybe it is. And this is just a way for Sony to be like, it can all exist or it can all not, and we can just play with whatever the fuck we want. We got this big chest of toys, and we want to play with them all. And this is the way that we can do it consequence-free.
I can't help but think about the Flash movie.
Yeah.
And just to see how they're going to compare in some ways and some ways not.
Obviously comic books are
a little different, but
obviously comic books are always going to have paralleling stories like that, right? Like,
sure.
Like at the same time that Bucky was...
But it's kind of exciting, though.
At the same time that Bucky was returning in the comics as the Winter Soldier, at the exact same time going over at DC, Jason Todd was returning as the Red Hood. Both of them returning as bad guys, you know, nihilistic destroyers and perfect foils and antagonists to our protagonists of Captain America and Batman, because they used to work under them. No one knows how they work better than they do.
Right.
So comics have always had that kind of parallel. And then, of course, the Flash has always been able to go through multiple universes, and Spider-Man has had multiple universes since Miles Morales was introduced in the Ultimate Universe, and Peter Parker was in the main universe. Peter Parker died in the Ultimate Universe. All that stuff. So there's always these parallels that can be going on. So, but this is really Sony's way of just consequence-free saying, like, anything's possible now. We want to do a Sinister Six movie back when Mark Webb was in charge.
Do you think this is going to be sprinkled in? Do you think you're going to see it?
I think so.
I heard rumors that maybe they could do it, and then probably this might be the best way to do it.
Well, without breaking the trailer down like too much, like I don't want to go frame by frame. I don't want to be one of those YouTube guys that sits here and if we freeze it here at minute 217, we could see a bolt of lightning, and that's got to be Electro, or it could just be fucking lightning. Calm down, bro. You don't think there's a superhero movie that hasn't had lightning? I'm pretty sure every single superhero movie has had some sort of fantastical like lightning display in it at some point or another. But anyway, no. So So, but if we look at this trailer, we do see things like a potential Sandman in it. We do see a dark shot of a lizard-looking creature creeping up on Peter Parker. We obviously see a pumpkin bomb that looks extremely like a pumpkin bomb that existed in 2002 when Willem Dafoe threw it at the Oscorp board of directors and incinerated them all. And then we also hear Willem Dafoe's, we hear like that sinister Dafoe laugh.
No,
and then, of
it.
Course, we see the giant octo arms come fucking flying in, and Alfred Molina, hello, Peter. And I'm like, ah! My brain is literally on fire.
I know.
Synapses are burning. My ears are starting to smoke. I am in full CPU overload watching this fucking thing.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
And I think one of the great things about it was I was really happy about it was, well, it's a little surprised by, which, but it makes sense.
It's amazing.
How much Doctor Strange is going to be in this movie, because I think he's going to be in a good chunk of it.
So, kids, let Uncle Dave and Uncle Jay talk to you for a second. Back when we were growing up and we were getting superhero movies, just hearing Superman's name being mentioned in a Batman movie would have sent us into a fucking tizzy. But never in our wildest dreams did we think that multiple universes could collide and any character could step onto the screen and be part of someone else's universe. If there was ever a director of a movie that came up to Warner Brothers or any of the other studios making superhero movies at the time and said, like, hear me out, I want to tell a story where multiple universes of this character and other characters all exist, and I want this character to travel through it. Every single studio head would have been like, you're insane. Get out of here, you crazy kid. What do you think? You want people to wrap their heads around a multiverse theory? Who are you, Albert Einstein? Get out of here.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Nobody wants to think about all that shit. They want to sit back, have fun, eat some popcorn, and hopefully get laid that night.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's just like, everyone wants to see Batman punch the Riddler in the face, and that's it. And the Riddler is Jim Carrey. I don't care what you say. We're not paying Robin Williams a damn dime.
That bastard didn't want to do my movie.
Oh, he wanted to do it. I just don't think Warner Brothers wanted to pay him money. But anyway. So they got Jim Carrey instead. They're like, he's kind of like Robin Williams. It's like, not
he's
really. But
cutting edge. The kids love him.
Do not go in there. Woo.
Killed me.
Love. Kids love Killed kids. Kids me. Love Jim Carrey back
I used to cry for a full week straight every time I caught that TV spot. The TV spot. When I was a kid, cry and laughter. It killed me. I don't know why. Ugh.
Stay on target. Stay on target.
So, that being said, Jay said it. Y'all kids are spoiled. Like, I never would have imagined that such a thing could happen for us back in the day.
Not even just that, but also, like, to pull it off technology-wise.
Oh, yeah, for
sure. You
know,
I mean, we lived through the lull of technology where the special effects were just garbage. Well, I mean, they were pushing out a lot of stuff that wasn't up to quality.
We were in high school when Spider-Man came out, right? The original Spider-Man.
And that was cutting edge.
And that was cutting edge. Because I remember them doing interviews and being like, if Jurassic Park never happened, if CGI never became a thing, we could never do this Spider-Man here 10 years later.
No, not at all. Not even close. You wouldn't even dream about it.
Yeah, and it's like you all saw what we did for made-for-TV movies of Spider-Man back in the 70s. Like, that's any time in the 90s, if they had made it, that's what Spider-Man would have been. It would have been a dude, like, crawling on all fours on a flat ground, and they would have just inverted the camera and been like, look, kids, he's crawling a wall. You can believe it now, right? Just shooting silly string out of his out of his fucking wrists, and then, like, pew, pew. Just swinging on a rope to, like, break through a fucking sugar glass window. Yeah. And it would have been awful, but technology came, and, you know, we got the Spider-Man we got. But, Jay, we're getting way off target. We got a trailer that we're breaking down here. So
we already did. No.
So the trailer starts off with MJ and Peter laying out on top of what's probably their high school roof or just some roof. Who cares? Yeah. He's Spider-Man. He can go on any rooftop he wants.
Exactly.
One of the cool things,
no bridges, please, anymore. Yeah.
One of the cool things, there's a bridge in this.
I know.
And it scares
I said it on purpose.
And it scares me.
I know.
I wonder if Zendaya's contract's up when I see her standing on that bridge, knowing what I know about Spider-Man history. Gwen Stacy. Gone too soon. But they're laying up there, and one of the few things in the background I do want to touch on is there's graffiti that says Ditko, the original artist for Spider-Man. So Nice touch.
Nice.
You know? It's
nice.
Like a,
they're yeah. always good with those touches.
Jay would tip his fedora to that and go, "M'lady." So they're up there and they're discussing like what all the newspapers are saying about Spider-Man, because at this point he is public enemy number one. We get images of her and him swinging, which seem like they might be minutes after Far From Home, or possibly I've heard other people say there's so much going on in the background with like billboards saying Peter Parker is Spider-Man and most wanted and stuff like that, that it's possible that it's a dream sequence. But who cares? It looks like they're trying to escape. We know that Peter obviously is going to have to continue his life as Peter Parker. He can't just be a 16, 17 year old kid and not go to school. So he is going to school and he's essentially facing the music. And I loved like how political it is. Like, he's walking into school, there's scandal going on, there's signs in the background that say we love, you know, Spider-Man, we love Peter Parker, but there's tons of signs that say traitor and stuff like that, because to people, he did kill the greatest hero that anyone had ever seen on the planet, which was Mysterio. I mean, obviously it was fake, but you know, as far as the general public goes, this guy killed the world's greatest hero. He saved New York.
Yeah.
In a time when the Avengers apparently couldn't, I guess, for some reason. Maybe they were all out.
Man, let's not dive into that.
They must have been on one of their shawarma dates.
Yeah. You gotta go on vacation at some point, you know?
But I love how like to face the music, to face like all this press and all this negative stuff that's going on around. MJ's like holding his hand and it's walking in. It's like when the president like is under scandal, and like even though the first lady's fucking pissed at him too, they have to hold hands and walk into the White House, and as soon as the doors close, like, fuck off, man. Monica Lewinsky, suck your get the fuck out of here. I'm going to run for office myself. Maybe win. Maybe not. I don't know. And then we get like images of Peter Parker like kind of being interrogated by the police. And it's like, I guess that makes sense. Technically, as far as they know, he's a murderer. But later on, he is obviously out and still Spider-Manning around and hanging out in Aunt May's apartment. So he's not completely under arrest for good. And a lot of people are speculating that this is where the Charlie Cox, Matt Murdock part will come in, where, you know, obviously a fellow hero in New York might want to come in and help. Other people are speculating that Charlie Cox will be a cameo while Spider-Man is traveling through several of the other universes. So who knows? I do know that it's not Charlie Cox. He's not the one slamming the giant, you know, case file in front of Spider-Man, because it's not the job of your defense attorney to intimidate you. I mean, unless your defense attorney is Charlie Cox, Daredevil. I don't know. But and then we also get a scene of like Aunt May and Peter Parker sitting on the couch, just kind of like vegging out, watching the news. And we can see police lights going on in the background, and they both jump up like startled. I think that's the moment where Peter Parker's getting arrested. Right.
Right.
And he's
caught at the table later on.
So all this shit's going on, which causes Peter Parker to reach out to his old buddy, Doctor Strange. And he goes to the Sanctum Sanctorum, and he pretty much asks him for help. Sanctum Sanctorum's covered in snow. I've seen a ton of people on YouTube trying to break down why it's covered in snow. Is it because they never fixed the hole in the roof from the Hulk and it's the middle of winter? Is it because he opened up one of those multiple environmental doors that's in the back that can take you to different portals to different parts of the who cares? Maybe Doctor Strange is just basic and he wanted to enjoy a pumpkin spice latte on a nice brisk morning, so he made it snow. Who knows? Maybe Doctor Strange just wanted a snow day. Maybe he wanted to drink his fucking latte out of his Fox mug.
I hope that's what it is. Yeah. I really do. It'd be really nice.
I hope Peter's like, why
cheeky.
Is it so cold in here? And he's just like, you never just wanted a snow day?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I have. Yeah, exactly.
However, with that said, his performance is a little on the heavily cheeky side.
It's off.
Which is a little weird to me.
Here's this dude that just literally...
With a lot of the footage that we saw, not just a little moment.
Here's a dude who saw 4,605 different outcomes to the future, right? And then help Tony Stark sacrifice himself.
I know.
To save the world, bring back half the population.
With one look.
And then right after it... He's now like, there's nothing heavy going on at all. He's fucking chumming it up with his 17-year-old friend. As every 40 something year old.
What happens after you save the universe? I mean, I don't know. Like, do you just sort of like change, hit the switch, and
as every 40 year old man should do, after you've just saved the world, you should chum it up with your 17 year old boy toy friend.
Exactly. Exactly.
Like that wink.
Wearing college sweats. You probably got a new Porsche in the driveway.
That wink he gives Peter when Wong's like,
so over the top.
Don't cast that spell. He's like, and Peter's like, oh, we're going to do it. It's like, I do like the
part. My new best friend.
I do like the part where, well, I mean, Tony's not around. He's got to look out for some.
I know.
He's got to look for some adult
figure.
Somebody
in New York.
Right. I would have reached out to Captain America, but hey, you know. You do you, Spider-Man. You do you. You go to the creepy sorcerer who's going to pluck your hair and do some crazy shit with it, you know? But Wong warns him not to cast that spell, not to erase the memories of everybody and have it go back to the way things were before Mysterio revealed the identity of Spider-Man.
Sure.
So Wong goes off in his portal, and I've seen a ton of people like breaking down where Wong goes. Like, where's Wong going? I could see this marble pagoda in the background. That's from the training grounds that all the sorcerers were doing. And it's just like, oh, he must be going off to fight the Abomination in Shang-Chi, because that's a thing that's going to happen in Shang-Chi. Wong fights the Abomination. And it's like, okay, that's cool. Who cares where he's going? He's exiting this story. Who cares?
For now.
Wong comes back riding the Abomination. He's just like, if you didn't watch Shang-Chi, you don't know what the fuck's going on.
Hey,
Marvel,
watch it. Honestly, people, it's here. I mean, I hear great buzz about that movie.
Yeah, but so, I'm just saying anything can happen now. Yeah. So anyway, they start doing the whole spell bullshit and all that stuff. And Peter Parker like eventually starts having second thoughts about it. He's like, so wait, everyone's gonna forget? And Doctor Strange like, it's not like a you know, some yes, others no type thing. And he casts the spell. Peter breaks the circle by stepping into it, number one, and then starts adding his own doubt into it, which I think is what breaks the spell, causing the fractured multiverse, even though Loki already fractured the multiverse. So I guess this will be fractures on top of fractures. I don't know. You'll have to ask Watu the Watcher when you watch What If, what the fuck this means. But we get the image of Spider-Man wearing this black and gold outfit, and through leaked toys and leaked concept art and stuff like that, we can see that outfit is almost like imbued with runes, and it seems like it's a Spider-Man outfit made by Doctor Strange so that he can pass through other dimensions or maybe whatever. But also in the background, you can see the Feast poster. Feast is the homeless shelter that Peter Parker volunteers at and Aunt May works at in the comic books. It's also where Mr. Negative first appears. And if you played the most recent Spider-Man video games on PS4 and the Miles Morales on PS4 and PS5, then Feast is a large part of those stories. So it's just something else in the Spider-Man universe, kind of you know, bringing it down home. So after that, it seems like we're going on this whirlwind adventure of Peter Parker, multiple universe hopping, or other people coming into Peter Parker's universe. And that's where we start getting flash images of a lizard appearing behind him. We see lightning striking, and a lot of people are saying that is going to be Jamie Foxx's Electro, and he will have yellow lightning instead of blue lightning to differentiate him from the Mark Webb version of him. So
why not?
So hopefully we get a better version of Electro this time, because I did not like the Jamie Foxx version. We'll talk about that more when me and Jay do our top five worst franchises of all time list. And then also The Sand Rising. And of course, the two main ones that you want to focus on. We see the pumpkin bomb, thus implying that there will be a Green Goblin. We hear what sounds an awful lot like Willem Dafoe's laugh at that point. And then, of course, confirming Alfred Molina with the giant octo arms appearing as Dr. Octopus, calling him Peter.
Precious tritium.
Because at the end of Spider-Man 2 in 2005, he did learn the identity of Peter Parker.
Peter Parker. Brilliant but lazy.
Makes sense now. Precious tritium.
And I wonder if he's going to become like a helper. you know, to help him, you know, fix things.
I don't know.
But and also, like,
Doctor Octopus is a complicated
Which Peter
character.
Is he talking to? Is like, is he talking to Spider-Man? Is he talking and it assumes it's his Peter Parker? Like, is it actually Tobey Maguire?
We don't know that much.
A lot of intriguing thoughts.
I can't wait to see Tobey Maguire. I think in the next trailer, whenever that is, probably.
And the dude hasn't really aged much either. No.
I think whenever the next trailer drops, I think we will see one of the other Spider-Men also. I think that's almost a foregone conclusion that they're going to have
to. In the trailer?
I don't know. In the trailer. I think so. But all this, like, and I was sitting here watching this and I was like, you know, technically they set this all up in Spider-Man Far From Home. When Peter was like super cool with the idea of Mysterio being from a multiverse, and he was like, oh, there's a multiverse and stuff like that. He's like, I always knew it. I always talked about the multiverse theory, and he like goes into it and stuff like that. And I was like, they technically set this up. Like, this is why Peter can have this adventure of a multiverse and not be completely fucking freaked out by it. Because he's a smart science kid who understands that, you know, the universe is complex and that this is always a possibility. Look, I can't express how dead excited I am for this.
It looks fantastic. It's kind of it's, you know, nothing was overly surprising. You know, it's kind of what I sort of expected with a multiverse type of look for a Spider-Man movie. It sets up a phenomenal story. I mean, batshit crazy special effects movie premise, confliction with Peter. I just hope that it still holds that grounded, which is does in the early part of the trailer, that grounded, homey, like, still kid, you know, still conflicted with this new fame, and also MJ's relationship and his aunt, you know.
You ready for our crazy theory time?
Yeah.
Me and absolutely. You kind of developed this theory because
sure.
You and I both noticed that Doctor Strange is acting weird, which we talked about right. A little bit earlier. It doesn't seem like this is the guy
right.
that just watched Tony Stark sacrifice himself in a bid that he pretty much fostered and created.
Unless he's having a Thor moment.
Unless Fat maybe Thor he moment. Is. But, you know, it seems like he's acting awfully cavalier with these powers that he has. Despite the fact that we've gotten a Doctor Strange movie where he kind of learned his lesson about acting cavalier with these powers, and then we spent Infinity War and Endgame with him with these powers, and you know, it didn't seem like he was this type of guy anymore. You know, it seemed like he had taken the role of Sorcerer Supreme on as pretty serious. We don't know technically whether he's Sorcerer Supreme. No one said he's Sorcerer Supreme. We just know in the fallout of Doctor Strange Wonders, not a whole lot of sorcerers left. And the Sorcerer Supreme, the ancient one, is dead. So therefore, someone's got to take up the role. And I guess maybe it's him. Who knows? But he is acting odd. And a lot of people, we've been hearing this all year because WandaVision comes out and everyone goes, main villain's got to be Mephisto. Mm. Nope. It was just Agatha all along. and then we start getting Loki and everyone's like, oh, my God, there's going to be someone at the end of time. When they go to the end of time, there's going to be some big villain there. I bet you it's Mephisto. Nope. It was not Mephisto. It was Kang the Conqueror, although they never refer to him as that. And people who haven't read comics have no clue who that guy is. if they're not reading the trades, and they don't know that in the Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, the main villain is going to be Kang the Conqueror. People are still probably confused about that if they don't read into it. But anyway, nope, not him. Now for a third time, everyone's saying it's Mephisto. Mephisto's here. You can see the clues everywhere. People drew devil horns and a mustache on Peter Parker. Well, Mephisto is the Marvel Universe's version of the devil, so therefore this must be Mephisto. Where my theory comes in is, I'm not 100% sold that Mephisto's in this. However, if he is, I think it'd be cool that Mephisto was playing Doctor Strange and wasn't actually Doctor Strange. It wasn't right. Doctor Strange. It's been Mephisto all along. That would make sense if you read the comics.
Or at least partially.
Because post-Civil War, back in 2006, Aunt May got gatted. Aunt May got shot by an assassin that was sent to kill Peter Parker. It's an awful story, but has a really cool moment in it. So Aunt May gets shot. The bullet was meant for Peter Parker. Peter Parker tracks down the guy who shot Aunt May. She's in the hospital and stuff like that. Finds out that the Kingpin hired him. Goes, finds his old black suit. Not the symbiote suit, but just a black fabric suit,
yeah.
Puts it on, breaks into prison just to beat the ever-loving shit out of the fucking Kingpin. A lot of rumors also that Kingpin is in this movie.
It's too much.
Because Charlie Cox is in it. And they want to, and MCU wants to establish that those characters are going to be coming back, some of them, from the Netflix shows, because the contract's up. So they're going to be doing stuff with them coming up soon. So if it follows the storyline of One More Day, Spider-Man, Aunt May's death is imminent. She's like 90 some fucking years old at this point. Her death is imminent. He goes to Mephisto, makes a deal that everyone will forget that he's Spider-Man. Aunt May will get to live. And the only thing he has to sacrifice is his relationship with MJ. They'll no longer be married. She will no longer know that he is Spider-Man. They will no longer be in a relationship. His life essentially gets reset to what it was post high school. And everybody just forgets. With like the snap of Mephisto's fingers.
Right.
Obviously, there's some parallels in that story to what's going on here. So a lot of people are saying that this is based on One More Day.
It's so interesting.
Yeah. So our crazy Super Mario Bros. Theory that we'll get to say we thought of it first and we were right and we get to cheer for it is if Doctor Strange turns out to be Mephisto. Of course, if we're wrong, we'll just ignore that we ever said this. So I think that's it.
Episode deleted.
I think we're done breaking down the trailer for Spider-Man No Way Home. I obviously, me and Jay already just talked about how excited we are for it. But secretly, I think we both hope we don't see another goddamn thing for this movie until it comes out.
Indeed.
All right, Jay, we got a top five to do, so let's get into our top five worst franchises. All right, Jay, you and I already issued the warning at the beginning of this that these aren't necessarily the worst franchises of all time. They may have had great starts, but ultimately they fizzled and we were not interested in them any longer. So let's get started with you, man. What is your number five worst franchise of all time?
I'm going to go with Twilight.
I'm the world's most dangerous predator. Everything about me invites you in. My voice, my face, even my smell.
And I think it's mainly because of
the media. You really enjoyed the first one, and then you were just like, I'm in.
Well, you don't have to like any of them.
That's true. You're right. You're right. You're fair.
I'm mainly going...
But you were a fan of the books, and then you were disappointed.
No. It's on the list mainly because the hype and hysteria behind this franchise with a very subpar movie... At best, for each three movies,
yeah, they were a lot of bullshit, and you know, it was very tripe, it was very bullshit. It was just like they were making this movie because obviously you couldn't be a studio and see that this book series was doing as well as it was and not make a movie about it. They had to, someone had to do it,
or even really improve.
Not to mention,
you know, from movie to movie to movie,
YA movies were all the rage at the time. And I think
the fact that the first movie is probably the best one.
I've never seen any of them.
Yeah, I saw all three. Mainly because of work.
There's more than three. You know that, right?
Is there? I don't know. Oh, that's right. Part one and part two. I think of...
There's four. Is there four? And the last one's part five? One and part two.
Oh,
I know
shit.
That much. And I know there's...
See, this just goes to show how...
I know the series ends with a terrible CGI baby.
Oh, God, it is. It's so bad.
Okay, so you've seen four of them.
I saw them all. I know I've seen them all.
I don't... You know what? Maybe we're not the...
I forgot, because it's
maybe
been so
we're
long.
Not the authorities to talk about this, but you've seen them and you know they're bad, and that's enough.
Correct. And that's what I'm saying, though. Like, even at this time, they had the capability. They had the money, for sure, from this fucking franchise. But they had the capability to make it at least look better. Baby included. But, like sparkling skin, you know? Like, glitter like a diamond and bullshit.
But,
and,
I mean,
like,
that was all in the book. I know that.
Speed. Like, you know, all kinds of random effects.
Oh, I remember the scene. I have seen the scene where all the vampires are playing baseball during a thunderstorm so that no one could hear the loud cracks of their
so
back.
So corny.
I think that's kind of neat. You know, like, that's how Superman would go play baseball. Where he's like,
but like the effects of watching him go run around and do certain things, just it was way
not
too
that you even when this movie came out, you weren't the target audience, buddy.
No, I know. But usually I can see something. And there's moments that I see something. I see some of the relationship torment with Edward Cullen.
The only thing you see is Robert Pattinson. That's all you see.
And at least in the first movie, he's really good.
Okay.
I think.
All right. I'm going to move on from this.
Sorry. But yes, this is part of the. This is the whole point of this list.
It's true.
Talking about dog shit.
Mine are a little bit more hot takes, I guess you would say. My number five, Jay, is the Alien franchise.
Watch me. I'll do the fingering.
Which, you know, I love Alien. Aliens. I don't truly despise Alien 3. There's things I like about it. We did an entire movie cocktail on it, on Alien 3.
Oh, good for you.
But Alien Resurrection is where it really starts getting like, all right.
I'm surprised this is major five.
This is like, this is bad.
I think there's too much good in it.
And then they go and they make AVP. And I'm like, all right, I'm down with AVP. Yeah, you know me. And AVP turns out to be PG-13. And I'm like, what?
Mm.
Why?
Mm.
No, you can't do this. And then they make AVP Requiem. And I was like, this is just god awful. And then the master himself returns, Mr. Ridley Scott. Oi, yeah, I'm going to tell you a fucking alien story. It ain't going to be about no fucking aliens, though. You want it? Sure, it could be in the universe if you want, you fucking twats.
Oh, Ridley.
And we get Prometheus that. And then the far more maligned Alien Covenant. I actually defend Prometheus at times. It just seems like this is a franchise that it had such masterful first outings. Like, you know, we and two completely different outings as well. We get Ridley Scott's masterpiece in 1979, which is just fantastic, suspenseful, claustrophobic horror that just works on so many levels. And then we get, on the complete opposite realm, the ultimate bro dude shooter of an action movie directed by James Cameron, where it's like every possible level of detail has been paid attention to by the man, and they're both fucking fantastic. And then we just start getting diminishing returns. And then when we saw a glimmer of hope of Ridley Scott coming back, we got Prometheus and Alien Covenant, and we just all went collectively like, fucking what?
Yeah, I know. It was a slap in the face. It really was.
That's why it makes one of my worst franchises.
Okay. See, I forgot about a couple of those movies that you mentioned, and I did not think about including Prometheus, which makes sense.
How the fuck could you forget about me?
Not how Ridley Scott talks, but this is how, in my head, Ridley Scott talks. So.
Well, that's in my mind too, because obviously I've been hearing Ridley Scott every week my last 6 years of my life.
It's been a while since Ridley Scott has appeared on the show.
Yeah, it's usually once every four or five episodes.
Anytime he's in the news, that's when it comes up. Or we mention
he's a big player in Hollywood still.
We mentioned something like this.
Yeah.
He was still out there recently. We did a news story probably almost a year ago at this point.
He's coming out with two movies this fall.
But he was trying to get he was trying to get his third Alien movie made. He was trying to just close it out. But then Disney acquired and stuff, and he was still sitting there. He's like, all right, you think I'm gonna work with the House of fucking Mouse? You got another fucking thing coming. Sips his scotch.
Good choice.
All right, Jay, you're number four.
Pirates.
And I half expected it to be made of wood. You are without doubt the worst pirate I've ever heard of.
But you have heard of me.
Yeah.
Pirates.
Kind of a stinker ending right around three, eh?
Yeah, so, you know, in hindsight, it does just, I think it pretty much just bleeds down, you know? I think, obviously, the first one's the best. Second one, it ain't that bad, you know? It's bloated, but it ain't that bad. Third one, there's a lot of cool shit in it. And they really go for broke.
Can I tell you about my favorite?
It's still.
Can I tell you about my favorite scene?
A hot mess
in Pirates of the Caribbean 2, when he's in the voodoo woman's house and she hands him the jar of dirt and he goes, "What's this?" "It's just a jar of dirt." And she's just like, "Then I'll take it back." And he goes, "No, then it helps." And he basically trades her for land because he's never in water. She gives him a jar of dirt and he's like, "Look, an undead monkey." I don't know why, like that. And then later on, when he sees Davy Jones, he says, "Look what I got! I got a job, Dad." Like, he's just so good in that role.
I know.
That, like, even when all the other bullshit's going on around him, I'm like, I don't like any of this, but I'm just waiting for the next frame of footage that has Jack Sparrow doing Jack Sparrow shit in the background.
And that's where I lead into my part, my big problem, when I mentioned in the show a bunch of times, I think Jack works so much better when he is the supporting, not, well, well, Lee, but like in an ensemble, more of an ensemble piece, not the lead actor.
The third movie,
driving the movie.
The third movie made sure that you knew that he was the main character of it so much that they split him into six different versions of himself.
And it was weird, that ultimate universe kind of thing, whatever that was.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're like, you know what? You guys like Johnny Depp? Here's six of them.
Yeah.
And it's like, we never even really liked that much when you did it with Eddie Murphy. Why are we going to like it now? I mean, we did in the 80s, and maybe for the first Nutty Professor. But anytime after that, when Eddie Murphy played multiple characters, we were tired of it. Why do we want to see Jack Sparrow doing it now?
Yeah, and then obviously 4 and 5. Wow, that was really bad. 4, 5, and... in particular, was so nonsensical.
It's not even diminishing returns right now.
Horribly directed.
Like Disney's bouncing checks with us at this point. That's how bad it was.
And 4, yeah, there's fun to be had in 4. The problem is, it's just a standalone, and it bring in some new characters that just didn't quite work.
Right. They're not even there in the next one. In 5.
I know. And 5 is the most forgettable, nonsensical movie.
Hey, but she turned out to be Barbossa's daughter, right? So, spoilers, sorry. These are bad franchises. I don't care.
I know.
Plus, 5-year-old movie. Get over it. RJ, my number 4, X-Men.
Do you know what happens to a toad when it's struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everything else.
Fox's X-Men franchise.
Yeah, I thought about putting that on.
Here's why. Okay. Love X-Men. Love X2. Love, you know.
There's a lot of bad shit.
James Mangold's Wolverine. Obviously, absolutely adore. Still think it's a masterpiece. Logan. And then we also get the Deadpool as Deadpool and Deadpool 2 as offshoots of that. Like, love it all. Love that stuff. But then there's X-Men 3. And First Class is good, too. I put that in the good camp. This is almost like the X-Men universe was like watching Star Trek back in the day. One good, one bad. One good, one bad. One good, one bad. You know, for every Star Trek, the motion picture, there was a Wrath of Khan, which is like a masterpiece. And then you get a Search for Spock, and you're like, it's all right. That's the way X-Men was. It was just so up and down for so fucking long. They bring Bryan Singer back. We get Days of Future Past. Good. But then we move into, you know, Rise of the Phoenix and all this other shit. And I'm just like, this is all just it. And they muddied the universe so much that it's practically unwatchable, to the point where like they made a movie to fix that very thing called Days of Future Past, and it fixed it all. But then by the next movie, they're like, nah, fuck it, fuck all that, that's out the window, who gives a shit, we're going our own direction again. It's just the most whiplash I've ever gotten from a franchise ever
of that caliber and size, right? You know,
to the point where like when the final movie in the franchise was coming out during Fox's fucking Death Adder, they're like, all right, fuck it, just put it out, we don't even know if it's terrible, it's bad. And guess what, we couldn't even find someone to direct it, so Simon Kinberg, who's been the producer on all the X-Men movies since the beginning, he's just gonna direct it. He's taking one on the chin for the team. Like, cause this movie's fucking bad, so bad. And that's it just comes down to that. You just get whiplash from this fucking franchise with its ups and downs. Every time they had a stop and they had a restart, it's like they got their wheels out of the sand and they were no longer spinning their wheels, and they're going forward, and we're all fucking happy as fans. We're just applauding them for getting it right, and then they immediately stumble again right after it, and you're just like, fuck this. And now I can't wait to see the X-Men be brought to life by the MCU. So,
I really hope so. I'm really looking forward to that. I think that's going to be one of the more exciting elements of that merger.
But I'll always watch Logan.
Oh,
just look at that fondly.
Absolutely.
Fantastic movie. All right, Jay. What is your number 3?
I'm going to go with the Hangover franchise, actually.
How'd that sound? So long, gay boys.
Ooh, bit of a hot take.
A little bit of a hot take one.
A
I know.
Hot take?
Mainly because
I know exactly what audio clip I'm going to play. I know I'm going to play Leslie Chow. What you talking about? That him? You gonna suck on these little Chinese nuts? It's funny because he's fat. It's terribly racist for me to do that, but
it's just so spot on, though. It's not racist because you're nailing it.
He was so good. I also love when they keep calling calling the other when they keep calling Mike Epps Black Dog. He's like, easy with the Black Dog shit, yeah, yeah. All right? Anyway, first movie's gold, but go ahead. Get into why you're getting into
first
it.
Movie's gold. Second and third movie, they literally follow the tropes of the first movie in its success.
We've seen it time and time again. And you can't replicate the comedy that you got in the first
correct.
One. Zoolander 2, awful. Anchorman 2, awful. You can't recapture this lightning coming to America 2.
Yeah.
Awful. You can't capture that lightning in a bottle again when you strike gold. The best thing I think you
humor's
can do...
Humor's challenging enough, yeah, you know?
I think the best thing you can do, instead of rehashing those old jokes in a new setting and stuff like that... You get the entire cast and crew back together to do a completely new story, original, and not even do the characters. Kind of like what Broken Lizard has always done. Remember, when Broken Lizard returned to Super Troopers, terrible. I always think that's the best thing that you can do.
I think they just had so much talent that there was no excuse to do that. It was such a cop-out, and I thought there was such an opportunity to really do some fun stuff. Really funny stuff, and it just didn't work for me whatsoever, and I was a huge disappointment because I was a big fan of the first one, and they completely they broke my heart for the second movie and the third movie. I'm like, why are these movies here?
And then Jay rode
why
Jay rode the boat out to the middle of the lake, and he's like, broke my heart. Shoots it in the back of the head while the hangover says the Hail Mary and drops it in. Godfather 2 reference. What up?
And, you know, it was just one of those things where, like, each character, you know, obviously, sure, I'm going to laugh from time to time, maybe, but it did not work. And the fact that they disrespected the audience so much by having the exact same story.
Oh, you had a baby movie, in the first one? We'll give you a monkey this time.
It's just a fucking joke. Yeah. You know, it was horrible.
We had Mike Tyson in the last one. Well, we're going to give someone a Mike Tyson tattoo this time. You know what I mean? Like, it's just like... It's like we have to call back to the jokes we did in the first one because that's what people expect. But I don't like that. I don't think it's – that's one of the things I always respected.
It's an eye roll thing more than an actual joke or a fun thing. It's like, really?
That's one of the
really
things I always respected about the Vacation franchise with Chevy Chase and Beverly D'Angelo. Mm-hmm. And the fact that they never called back to their old jokes.
Yeah.
They always put them in a new situation and a new – and it was a little
– And I wish they kind of went with that approach.
Yeah.
Right? You know? Or, you know –
Don't even make them the same characters. Bradley Cooper, he's a new character. Like, you know, that's what I'm saying. Do a cast sequel.
The point is, they were so fleshed out well in the first movie with the opportunity to still expand and just make them thrive even more. And they just didn't do it. I just was really disappointed by it.
It was
really
bad.
Disappointed.
It was bad dick, just like you give every woman. Bad dick.
I've been good lately.
All right, Jay. My number three. This one's obvious. I don't think I have to go into this too much. Resident Evil.
You're all going to die down here.
I've heard that before.
Paul W.S. Anderson. Just fucking...
Yeah, forget about it.
Fucking terrible. It's awful. I think the first one was, like, promising. If you liked zombie movies, which is all the rage at the time that it came out. But also, if you were a fan of the video games, you were just like, huh? What? The fuck is this? Who the fuck is Alice? That's the just give me fucking Jill Valentine, fucking Chris Redfield. Just give me that shit. That shit worked in the video games. The video game story is fucking batshit and insane, but I respect it a whole lot more than this franchise. Because by the time you get to like 3, it's not even recognizable to the video games anymore. They're just like, here's a character who's in the video games, Leon S. Kennedy. You guys like him, right? Well, here he's here now. We're doing him now. Okay. If he's nothing like you saw him in the video games, though.
Right.
But he looks like him, kind of. Maybe. I can't believe I finished this franchise.
Yeah.
I remember when the last one was coming out, and I was like, it's the end of an era. I mean, I got to see it, right? I mean, as far as like ridiculous bullshit action goes that could like never happen with absolute batshit crazy plot points, I couldn't tell you, Jay, from 3 to 7, I think that's how many there were, 7? I'm not sure. From 3 to 7, I couldn't tell you which bit happened in which movie because it all just blends together. Far worse than like the Fast and Furious franchise does. This is the absolute worst when it comes to that. So, yeah, Resident Evil, obviously. Jay, what's your number 2?
Men in Black.
You know what the difference is between you and me? I make this look good.
Really? Just because of International?
2 and 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Bad.
But three.
Real bad.
But three made me cry.
Three was phenomenal.
Three made me cry so much.
One and three are fantastic, but two and four were absolute trash.
Shay gets to see his daddy, and his daddy was a hero.
Trust me, I cried too. That was one of the most shocking movies, believe me.
Josh Brolin does a spot on fucking Tommy Lee Jones.
Phenomenal.
So good.
He deserved an Oscar for that fucking performance.
I demand you put Men in Black on your honorable mentions list and take it off of your main list. I demand it. Now, do it. Take it off.
Two out of four.
That's true. It's a 50. I mean, but to be fair, if your batting record was 500, you'd be pretty solid with that. You'd be all right with that. You'd stay in the majors with a 500 record.
Yeah, but like you're like your range is like an A to a D, and there's no in between. You know,
it's true.
It's pretty brutal.
Two's bad.
It's pretty jarring.
Two bad.
It's pretty jarring.
Two is just like what's popular right now, and they're like that guy that hurts himself on TV, Johnny Knoxville. I'm like, yeah, get him. He does some funny shit.
It's jarring, man. It's jarring. And that was part of the thing. And for them to come back and completely go into a whole different outlandish route again after they rebounded with three. Right. And you know they're just going to pour out more movies down the line. It's just,
I don't think
They will at some point. Absolutely. Of course
they
will.
It's one of the few franchises Sony has that they're like, yeah, we got to
keep it. They will.
They'll just ignore it.
They're just taking a little break. Yeah, well, exactly. They're just going to completely do a hard reset in like 5 years.
They'll wait until the box office from Spider-Man No Way Home comes out.
Something.
Comes rolling in. And then
or some new hot star. Right. Yeah, the new Chris Pratt.
No. And then they're going to be like, Will, just come back, please. And Will will be like, yeah, I guess. Why not?
Yeah.
Money talks. So
it does for Willie.
All right, Jay, my number two. I don't think I need to explain this very much. One and two, masterpieces. Everything after, not so much. Terminator franchise.
Fight me.
That is a very immature response.
Yeah, another one I considered. Yeah, I know.
Terminator franchise. So, I mean, like, look, one, obviously great. One of James Cameron's first movies out of the gate. He knocks it out of the park with this wonderful sci-fi horror hunter killer type story. That's great. And we also get like the final girl in Linda Hamilton and stuff like that. It fits the bill for the 80s and it works really, really well. Holds up to today. Then we get T2. Arguably the greatest action movie ever fucking made. If there was a Mount Rushmore of action movies, James Cameron has two on that list.
I know.
He's got T2 and he's got Aliens, both on the fucking Mount Rushmore of action movies. So when you get to three and you get like Arnold Schwarzenegger putting on like star glasses because he went into a gay biker bar this time instead of a rough tumble biker bar this time, I was like, oh, this is the type of movie we're doing. I get it.
Hated it.
We're gonna start poking fun at our own tropes. Okay, all right. No, I'm not down. And then they were like, you know what?
It takes you out of the movie so badly, and you understand that this is now not then, trying to make a quality movie.
But then the studio gets it. They're like, all right, my bad. We did wrong. Tiger got out of the cage, bro. Tiger got out of the cage. But we're going to put the tiger back in the cage now, and we're going to give you the story you always wanted. We're going to show you the human resistance fight against the machines in the future. And guess what? That Batman you guys love all so much, Christian Bale, he's fucking in it. And he's a great actor. You can't say shit about this movie.
The fuck are you doing? Are you professional or not?
Yes, I am.
And it was fine. Terminator Salvation. It's got its problems. Don't get me wrong. It's a C-plus movie, but it's a C-plus movie that I enjoy.
And you could also see the merits of what they were trying to do and accomplish. And it didn't quite succeed, but it was still respectful.
Terminator Genesis, Dark Fate, and everything else that happened after that, can't get down with. I know in our review, we kind of defended Dark Fate in a way, but we were taking that as a movie.
Dave more than me. Yeah.
But we were taking that as a movie in a vacuum, like as a movie itself, it works. But when you look at it in the franchise, it just really doesn't. And fuck it, man. This franchise is just, again, like the X-Men.
It's wildly disappointing.
Yeah. Or more like Alien. It's major highs and just the lowest.
Well, it's just you started off with two highs that you could never. You could never match again.
Should have stopped at T2, man.
And exactly.
They stopped the apocalypse from coming. They stopped Armageddon.
They haven't come close.
And that's it.
And
they destroyed the Terminator. There was nothing left of it. And now it'll never happen. and they can go on, live their lives happily, happily ever after. I'm down with that. I'm down with that.
And but, just like Men in Black, we're going to get this again at some point. At some point.
Franchise that's too good to leave dead.
Which is hard to say because
I know
it's been so long since there was, there's been a good one. So it makes you wonder. It does make you wonder.
It's got a 500 record, but it's too good to leave dead. So, all right, Jay. You are at your number one now, yeah?
Yeah, I actually did not
Honorable mentions?
Do any honorable mentions.
Of course.
Because obviously, like I said in the beginning of the episode.
As always with all these lists,
I haven't watched that many franchises. And also, it's a challenging list because like we've discussed already, there's a lot, you can argue with a lot. And there's a lot of movies that are like, you know, fair. A lot of good shit, a lot of bad shit. Now, what does that warrant? You know, this fair. And that. There's reasons why I have certain things on my list. And my number one is highly controversial.
Okay, we'll see. So, Jay, my honorable mentions, Underworld. So,
okay.
Werewolves versus vampires, promising first movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Completely diminishing returns from the second one all the way through to whatever it was. I think it was one of the first movies I gave an F to on Super Movie Bros. Blood Wars, I think it was. Underworld Blood Wars, who cares? Kate Beckinsale needs a paycheck. Here comes another Underworld movie. It's the type of thing where it's like, I like this idea. I'm down with vampires fighting werewolves. Yeah, let's do that shit. But it just like the Resident Evil franchise, it's just... It takes itself too seriously. It's like it almost tries too hard, you know. But anyway, I don't want to spend too much time on these. Twilight, you mentioned, Jay, the Saw franchise, right? Promising like one, two, even like three. I'm not tired of it. But by the time we're now getting to, I think I did a review this year for can't even remember the fucking name of it. The one with Chris Rock.
Oh right, Spiral.
Spiral. Right. To the point where we're at Spiral now, and I'm just like, nope. Spiral was a step up, but we're talking like a minor step up. Yeah. We're not talking like much. I don't think I gave that movie too good of a review.
Half step
up. But the Saw franchise, it's just like, yeah, I dug the concept. I was down with it, but we're a little long in the tooth now, right? It's time has passed us by. We're no longer in that horror realm of shock horror. But they still keep trying to make them, and now they're like, well, start a new franchise. And now the rumor is not only are they going to make more Saw movies, but they're still making Spiral movies as well. A franchise branched off of an awful franchise. Nothing sounds worse to me. Rambo is my next honorable mention. Because how do you go from at least a masterpiece of a script that is First Blood and then get Rambo 2 and 3 out of that? Literally, the First Blood is about a veteran with PTSD post-Vietnam who then goes on killing sprees in 2 and 3. And it's like, no, the killing is what broke his brain in the first place. Why would he sign on for this? Why would you do this? You're literally betraying the heart of the original story. And then they try to bring it back with Rambo in 2006 where he returns.
Right.
And that one was like, okay, I get it. I'm now getting the war-torn veteran with PTSD. We're getting elements of that here. He begrudgingly gets into another fight to protect people. It's not about him being hired by the government to go kill random brown people in the desert this time. But then, of course, we get Last Blood, which came out, I think, earlier this year or end of 2020, or early 2020. Anyway, Last Blood, just fucking awful. We did a review on it, and I talked about just how bad it was. Jay, my final honorable mention. This is a Spider-Man franchise. The Amazing Spider-Man with Andrew Garfield. First one's fine. I liked Andrew in the role.
I liked the first one. Yeah.
I was okay with it. Hated the portrayal of the Lizard because they took away his family, betraying everything that character was all about. He literally did everything for his family.
Yeah, sad.
Then they're just like, oh, but don't worry. We gave him a reason to – we gave him a motivation. He was best friends with Peter Parker's daddy. So we're going to sow the seeds that, like, Peter Parker's parents were, like, super spies and, like, S.H.I.E.L.D. agents and shit like that. And it's like – whatever, just tell me a Spider-Man story, for Christ's sakes. Why are you doing this? And you're destroying one of, like, a classic Spider-Man fucking villain as well. Like, you had a really good Stan Lee cameo. I give you props for that, where he's the janitor and him and the Lizard are fighting in the library. Fantastic.
That is good. That is very good.
But then you give us the second one in the franchise, and you're just like, oh, by the way, we're going to do the Spider-Man 3 thing, but we're going to do it real early in our franchise. So here's Electro. Here's Green Goblin. Here's Rhino. Here's just we're just throwing
we're bad effects.
Yeah, we're just gonna throw shit at the fucking wall. And by the way, Gwen Stacy's gonna die in a real bullshit way. We're not even gonna put her on the bridge. By the way, we didn't talk about it in the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer, but him and MJ are standing on a bridge, and in the comic books, Gwen Stacy dies on a bridge, snaps her neck in a much same way that she snaps her neck here in Amazing Spider-Man 2. Makes me scared for Zendaya's character.
I know,
just a little bit.
I know,
just a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit. But I'm sure she'll be fine.
Yeah,
they're dating in real life. I don't think Tom Holland would let his bae get fucking offed in his movie. But anyway, Amazing Spider-Man 2 just had so many fucking problems with it. It gave us the Green Goblin story with Dane DeHaan that was just completely unearned. He just goes home and just becomes Green Goblin and then comes back in a
ugly motherfucker
in the end of the third act to just fucking wreak havoc. And I'm like, this makes no fucking narrative sense at all. He's already defeated the main villain. Like, why are we even tacking this on? Because we want to build a franchise. We want to get to the Sinister Six, and that's where Sony's fucking binoculars were at, and they were just focused on that horizon, and they failed to make a good movie because they were just focusing on the future.
Yeah, you're all right.
Jay, number ones.
My number one.
Let's get into it.
Highly controversial, 50 Shades of Grey.
Do you want to punish me right now?
Yes, I want to punish you right now.
How's that highly controversial? Everyone knows those movies are trash.
Exactly. They should have been better.
Jay's like, you made a movie about sex, you didn't make it compelling. I hate
that's
you.
My point. Nothing about these worked, and they should have been, at the very least, soapy. And the soapiness didn't work.
What Jay's saying
and what's
is,
even worse at the is very this is supposed to be like a hard R, sexy movie, and it was the least sexy movie of all time.
You guys just heard
and it
Jay's-
could not improve upon it, and they made three of these motherfuckers, and I saw all goddamn three of them.
You just heard Jay's movie.
Movie.
The way he says movie. But
because I was so pissed off.
But what you're
about
saying
it.
Is, at the very least, you wanted to
I wanted to see a sexy movie.
You wanted to jerk off
because there's
movies.
No sexy movies anymore. And this is about, like, I kind of grew up in the soap opera shit with my grandmother and all that.
Yeah, me too.
Stuff
I watched them with my mom.
And, you know, so at the very least, like, I can get behind some silly movies like that from time to time. And the fact that they were making a fan fiction Twilight book that was really beloved, and it was going to be a hard R, and it was going to be more grown up, more sexy, all this shit.
But what you're saying is that you wish you could have jerked off to these movies.
No! I just...
Or at least be turned on by them.
All right. Like, Basic Instinct. You know, like, there's a lot of sexy scenes in that movie, right?
I know. I'll follow you.
Alluring, fun thing. Something like that. You know, and there was nothing. It just did not work. It was so cold. It was not a turn on.
Not even on my radar, because I never watched any of them. So
complete trash. Complete letdown. Huge letdown.
Jay, my number one is not... It's not some huge surprise, right? It's not a hot take. I think everyone expects this. Transformers.
Hey, Mudflap, what are we going to do with this shrimp taco?
Let me just bump a cap in his ass, throw him in the truck, and then nobody going to know nothing, not me.
I'm a little surprised.
Promising first movie.
I'm a little surprised. I was expecting maybe Jaws or something, you know?
That could go on there.
I'm surprised it wasn't even on your honorable mentions list.
Yeah, to be fair, you're right.
I'm like, I was actually expecting the... Since it wasn't on your honorable mentions, I was expecting you to say Jaws.
Here's the thing. I think because I grew up watching Jaws, Jaws is probably... I'll say this now, but I might change my mind at some point. It's definitely on my top 10, certainly in my top 5, but maybe my favorite movie of all time is the original Jaws.
Yeah, I would say that. If someone asked me what yours is, I would probably just say that as
it's
a default.
It's Jaws or Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, I would say Jaws as a default, and then I would also just have to come back with the whole Star Wars thing.
But, you know, as a kid watching Jaws, like, I liked two. It was fine. You know what I mean? Three... Oh, they're in SeaWorld. I loved SeaWorld when I was a kid. You know what I mean? Like, you know? And then the fourth one just happened. And, like, if you notice, like, most of the ones had more recent entries in the franchise.
You grew up being submissive about it all.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. It was an abusive relationship. I kept wanting them to be good, and they were bad, and they just kept coming back.
Give me that good dick once, and...
It's a franchise that's dead. Like, all the ones that are on my list are franchises that are still around. Like, still coming back, still trying to
I understand. I understand that.
Jaws is in the past. I've made my peace as an adult watching it, but as a kid, I didn't care whether it was Jaws 2 or Jaws 4. But I did always know that Jaws 1 was a fucking masterpiece as a kid. But
and it is.
Yeah, it was always my favorite, obviously. But like Jaws 2, Jaws 3, Jaws 4, I'll watch them all. Who cares? I remember a President's Day marathon. I was off from school, and I was home for President's Day, and they played all four Jaws movies in a row. And like I literally woke up at like 8 a.m., and Jaws 1 was like just starting. And like I started watching it, and then the commercial came on, and it's like, Jaws all day, President's Day. Or maybe it was Labor Day.
I know what
or
I'm
maybe
doing
it was Memorial Day or whatever it was, and I was like, well, here I sit. All fucking day. Fucking
oh my god.
The type of day where you had a day off from school where you had a box of cereal sitting next to you and you just kept pouring cereal into the same bowl of milk over and over again. Like that type of day where pajamas didn't get changed until my mom was calling me for dinner and I was halfway through Jaws 4. That type of day. But anyway, no, Transformers, man, because it had a promising first movie. I think, at least, I wasn't in love with it when I saw it. But, like, growing up as a kid, Transformers, it was always more my brother's thing. But, like, I always got it. I always liked it. So
I really liked it.
Yeah.
And I think it was really well casted. And yeah. They had really good effects that was cutting edge at the time. And I thought it was a nice marriage
but
with
then,
Michael Bay.
And it had a narrative that you could follow. But then we get into two, and the narratives start getting more money, and three, and then four, and then
very
five.
Very much aware of itself.
And then we're just like, I don't even know what I'm watching anymore. And it's like, well, it's not for you. It's for the international market. That's why half of the movies are taking place in China now. And I was like, that's fine. I get the international dollars. Why does that mean it can't have a cohesive story?
It's a Michael Bay movie. It's an action movie, and it's,
I think and two lost me at the moment where the giant one comes to life and it has two wrecking balls for its nuts, and Skids and Mudflap are like, you know,
it's
completely racist characters.
I know.
Like,
I know. It's so bizarre.
I'm not with this, and I don't even think as a society we were as woke back then as we are now. But like,
no.
Even then, it was that's how racist these characters were. Is that it was too far then.
And you even could tell. I mean, they were getting lambasted for it, but like people were aware. It was so aware.
It was like too far then. I was like, you might as well have just made two Transformers with blackface and big red lips, you fucking monsters.
I'm telling you.
It was so, I mean, I watched it and I was just like, I guess I'll watch the third one. And like, that's when it all just started getting worse. And I don't know why I keep watching them. I think it's like the reason like people used to listen to Howard Stern when they hated Howard Stern, because they're like, I want to see what crazy shit this motherfucker says now.
I think so
that I could be more enraged.
I think so.
And that's why I keep watching them, because it's like, I want to get more enraged over this.
It's like people in politics too, you know.
And then they almost saved it with Bumblebee. Bumblebee was okay, because it gets into Gen
Confession,
1.
I still haven't seen it.
It's fine. Watch it.
I feel bad. I want to. It's fine. I want to. I just have a difficult time putting it on. I don't know why.
And of course, Jay should hear me saying it's fine and know that he's watching a C+ movie. Like that's when I say it's fine. It's C+.
Yeah.
You won't hate your
I don't care. I'm going to still watch it.
You won't hate your 2 hours.
I'm going to still watch it.
Haley Steinfeld's charming as always. So.
Always.
But that's going to do it for our list. So if you guys have any top 5 worst franchises and you want to bring them up to us, you can reach out to us on our social media. I am on Twitter at SuperMoviePod. I'm also on Instagram, SMBDave on there. Jay, where can people reach out to you?
Indeed, I am on Twitter, J_SMB, and Instagram, SuperMovieBros.
I already gave everyone a Patreon link, so I'm not going to say it here. If you wanted to join, you would have done it by now. You don't love us that much. That's fine. That's fine. I'm used to not being loved.
Please love us.
But if you
call
don't want to join
the hotline, leave a voicemail.
If you don't want the Patreon, you don't want more episodes, you don't want more content, but you want us to continue doing the show, you want to show us how much you appreciate at least getting us on a weekly basis that may not be as on schedule as it used to be, because fuck it, I'm raising a kid and I'm working a full-time job.
Stop being so insecure about that.
I know. It's just so hard. It's so hard. I used to be so on point getting it out.
Oh, my God. You drive me crazy about that.
I drive myself crazy. I lose sleep over when I can't edit this podcast on time.
blows my mind.
Anxiety, for sure. But anyway, please leave us. Leave us a review. Write us a review on Apple Podcasts. And then, of course, we are part of a network. We are part of the Age of Radio Podcasting Network. So make sure that you head over to ageofradio.org. You can check out all the great shows that are part of the Age of Radio Podcast. You can go to our page over there, and you can listen to every single episode of Super Movie Bros Podcast on there. And of course, you heard Beard Brother Dylan. He left us an extremely long voicemail. Just so long. 3 minutes is just, it's excessive. But you can leave us a voicemail too, and you can make it as long as you want. And clearly, we will play it regardless of its length.
Don't dare say that.
And of course, you can reach out to us at 267-590-9042, or just send us a voicemail message through email, record it, and then send it over supermoviebrospodcast@gmail.com. I want to thank all of you guys for listening. Have a great one. Cheers.